All right, good morning, everybody. It's 11:04. We do have quorum. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Leon County Research and Development Authority 11 a.m. meeting, February 3rd, 2022. Calling this to order. Ron, do we have any, are there any guests?
Yes, we have Mary Jo Spector online with FSU.
Mary Jo, how are you doing?
We also have Stephanie Chalet and Melissa, I guess, but.
Hey, Stephanie. Morning, Melissa, again.
Hello.
All right. We need to vote to approve participation by electronic means. We do have a few directors on Zoom. Is there a motion?
No approval. Second.
Been moved. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That's unanimous. Ron, are there any modifications to the agenda?
No.
Is there any public comments?
We have not received any.
All right. I trust everybody's had a chance to review the meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Been properly moved and seconded. Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Minutes are approved. Consent agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Consent passes. Treasurer's report. Ron.
Yep. Okay, because of the innovation lab construction and because of the timing of the various grant receivables and the receipts versus the month that they were either originally planned or budgeted, we're having some roller coaster effect. In there, some things are coming in a little earlier than budgeted, some things are coming a little later, but it's creating with bigger dollars than we're accustomed to seeing with these particular events. So let me take a moment and go over, first of all, the net income. For the three-month period ending December 31, we had budgeted to have net income of $22,600. But fortunately, we ended up with $61,400. And that was a favorable swing of $38,800. If we begin to look at the various components of that, first being revenue, we budgeted $559,700, but only brought in $381,900. So we had a shortfall or unfavorable in revenue of $177,800. The big piece of that was we received a reimbursement of $178,000 for construction costs that hit our books earlier than we had budgeted. So that's the favorable big piece. The unfavorable pieces of that were that we had budgeted to receive $26,000 as FSU's share of expenses for elevator reimbursement. That work has not yet been completed, so that has not been able to acquire those funds. We had expected to receive $60,500 in grant expense reimbursements, but the activity for that yet has not been completed, so that has not been earned. We had budgeted to receive $267,900 from the OEV as payment for the Danfoss land acquisition. But again, payment of that is tied to when Danfoss breaks ground, and that activity has not formally taken place. Those items we think will be okay. Nothing to worry about. It's just, again, a timing issue. Let's now look at the big issues in operating expenses that hit us. We had budgeted to spend some $468,100, but we only spent $251,700. So that was favorable to us of $216,400. We saved $11,200 as a result of a staff vacancy. These are some of the favorable things. We had budgeted $5,100 for HVAC repairs that didn't have to take place. There was a $4,800 for tree trimming that's not yet completed, so that's not been paid. We had budgeted $151,000 for renovations to the Collins building, but that's not yet been completed either. Other items grouped in property administration were budgeted but not yet expensed were $18,200 for grant expenses, $8,200 for other program expenses, and $11,500 for marketing and public relations expenses. In summary, combination of all these jumps and misses and sloops and dupes and all, we ended up with a positive net income of $38,800 over our budget. Cash at year end looks good. Again, this is for the December 31 period. We had just slightly over $100,000 in our operating account and some $593,000 in funds for our building expense. We had one small rent payment that was past due for more than 90 days. That was only $112. We have had a conversation with that individual. They have asked for some supporting documentation, have indicated when that's received, that'll be paid. So no big issues there. Mr. Chair, I submit to you the report for the finance, for the treasurer's report, and ask our board members if this is too much, too little, about right. Tell me what you think. As treasurer, I became concerned that in the past years, we had simply put the financial stuff in the consent agenda and weren't paying much attention to it. But we're fiduciary liable for the responsibility of managing the finances of this organization. It's not like some organizations where the board is not fiduciary responsible, but we are. So my approach has been to give you a little bit of an update. Again, I ask for your comments as to about right, too much, too little.
Dave, I'll start this out. Thank you very much. I appreciate your oversight of this and leadership. Thank you for the review. I think that the amount of information that you're bringing forward is fantastic, and it is an encouragement for everybody to continue to pay close attention to our financial conditions. I'd like to open it up for questions, comments, discussion.
Just a comment. Dave, you're right on point. I think great information. It keeps it at the point that we need to be in terms of where we are in our evolution. So thank you. Thank you for taking that on.
I agree. I've been sort of kind of concerned about this because it's not my strong suit either. I'm glad you're looking at it as closely as you are and that you're bringing the deviations to our attention.
Very good. Good. I submit the treasurer's report for approval, sir.
Motion, please.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. The motion has been properly seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Report passes. Thank you very much, Dave. Item number nine, the loan for the North Florida Innovation Labs from FSU Research. Ron.
Mr. Chair, so we let me pull up the commitment letter. Can everyone see that? So I presented the commitment letter to the executive committee a couple weeks ago, and these were pretty much the terms that had been agreed to at the time with one item that was still open, and that had to do with the collateral. That issue has been resolved. And the so this is the agreed upon commitment letter, which has been approved by the Research Foundation's board. The negotiation of the terms moved a little differently than we had hoped. We didn't get any traction on looking at the loan to grant conversion. The negotiation shifted from the Research Foundation staff to FSU senior staff and the president. So the proposal we got back didn't initially reflect what we had discussed. We weren't quite on the same page, and I want to thank the mayor for stepping in at just the right time and made a phone call to the FSU president McCullough and got us back on the same page and got helped get us to these terms. So very much appreciative of his efforts on that. we were then able to get Melissa working with FSU Council to work through some of the details. And in that process, we discovered that contrary to what the program manager at EDA had told me, we do require EDA approval for the loan. We also have to complete one of their mortgage documents and have that approved, as well as the loan agreement with FSU Research Foundation. So we will have to work through that process. We have their template document, and we're moving forward with that. I want to point out just a couple of things. One, if you look at the security interest, that has kind of been the big key. It's a non-recourse line of credit, meaning that they can't come back to the general assets of the authority. They can only look to the collateral that's provided, and that is the building. And one thing that's not mentioned here is that the collateral would also include the land lease. So if for any reason they ended up with the building, they would also get the lease for the underlying ground. So they wouldn't get one without the other. Yes, sir.
Is it just the building, or is the building and the FFE?
It's the equipment, any equipment that's purchased with the line of credit.
Okay.
So it's not the general.
Okay.
We got that out. That was one of the negotiating items, was looking at accounts receivable and all that stuff. And we said, no, just what's purchased with the line of credit.
I got you.
Is the final. The interest rate did come down a little bit from what we'd initially discussed. I think originally we were looking at 3.25%. It's now 2.98%. That was a point of contention before, which was initially they came back with 5%, I believe. So it was, that's kind of the stuff that we worked through. First year interest only, or 3 months post-construction is when the payments start. First year, it's interest only. Payments will be annually in arrears, which also helps a little bit in terms of timing. So gives a little more time to go out and raise more money. Prepayment is allowed without penalty. It's going to be amortized over 12 years. And that amortization generally works out to be about first year interest of about $90,000 and annual payments of about $300,000. So we hope it doesn't get to that point. That's not our intent, to try to write out and make annual payments. We'll talk about a little more about that in a minute. But the other piece that we talked about was the terms in terms of what preference they would get in exchange for doing this, because they're taking some risk here. This is not, as a second lien holder, they're taking a lot more risk than we would if it was, a first mortgage. But so what they're getting basically is a right of first refusal once the occupancy rate hits 85%. So up until that point, we're not going to have to deal with every person coming in offering a right of first refusal. It's only when we start to get tight on space that we would get into that situation. And we'll spell out the details of that. But that right of first refusal just means that if they've got someone, a business, not a researcher, but a business who is looking to join the incubator and wants to commercialize technology, they will have the first right of the offer on space. But that person will still have to pay a regular membership fee. They'll be like any other member. They'll be subject to the same criteria as any other company coming into the incubator. It's just that right of first refusal to try to access the space. Yes, sir.
Does that provision extend beyond the terms of the loan, or just as while the loan is on the books?
Yeah, just while the line is on. It says, for so long as any balance remains outstanding on the line of credit. So if we refund the debt, we pay it off early or immediately, then that provision will not apply.
Good.
And frankly, and I mentioned this to them as well, is that, if we get to an 85% occupancy rate, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
So I'm not overly concerned about that. And we expect a large number of businesses trying to commercialize FSU technologies. We want that. So it's not, in my opinion, not an onerous provision at all. So, and then just typical indemnification language. So, I mentioned the issue with the land lease. It's not on this, but I think the assumption would be that if you're gonna take the building as collateral, you also get the land lease. And given that they already have property in the park, and the state is not going to object to them being a leaseholder in this situation. We have precedent for transferring land leases, you know, from us to FSU. So I don't see that as a big problem. But I just wanted to point it out because it wasn't specified in the term sheet. And again, the intent of the term sheet wasn't to get into all the weeds of, you know, the final documents, but I thought that was important enough to at least disclose that.
So we can I interject?
Yeah.
Thank you for all the heavy lifting that went into this. When we started talking about this in concept, everything was going to be very easy, straightforward, and simple. And then the detail is more challenging. And in your preliminary conversations with Dr. Fulkerson, I believe that there was initially a strong desire to make sure that all of this worked well. And then obviously as negotiations happened and the details have to be distilled down to the four corners of the document, I understand that it's challenging. Thank you for your leadership in doing this. Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you. It sounds like you had an instrumental role in getting these terms back to a place that is functional for LCRDA and for the infill project. Thank you for doing that. I know there's been a tremendous amount of effort behind this. Thank you guys for doing that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I did want to kind of let you know where this fits into the scheme of things right now. The projected cost, again, this is a cost projection. We won't know until February 15th, a week and a half. We won't know what the actual cost is going to be. But we're projecting to be short somewhere between $2.6 million and $3.5 million. So the $3 million, you know, works for that. If we get to the extreme end, we'll have to figure that out. You know, what to do next. We can go ask for more DDA assistance at that point. We can ask FSU to raise the loan amount if they're willing. It's all going to come down to how big is that number and what's there. But we're going to have to wait until February 15th at this point to figure out what the next steps might be. We do know, or are fairly confident, we have at least two bidders who will be bidding on the project, which is we're required according to the EDA requirements to get at least two bids. So cross your fingers, we get both of those.
Can you tell us who that is, or is that?
I'd rather not at this point.
Are they both local?
I just think it's probably best at this point, because I'm just speculating, because I don't have any actual direct knowledge of any of that. I think it's best just to let the bids come in when they come in. The bids, as I said, are due on February 15th, and they're good for 30 days. That's important. You know, we're going to have to move quickly, and it's in the schedule to do it this way. But just so you know, we don't have an extended period of time once the bids come in to start doing a lot of other things. So I'm hopeful it comes in. If it doesn't, then we'll have to move quickly. I think the EDA, you know, if it's a little bit here or there, they might be willing. I think they still have money, I presume. But I don't know how many times we can go back to the well there. And again, the intent of this line of credit is to buy us time, because we won't, you know, as I said, we only have 30 days. So, you know, once we know that, we got to move forward. So if we've got the line in place, even if we won't have to borrow from that line until we get towards the end of construction. And it's basically 2 years. So in the interim, we'll be out looking for more funding. We have started that process. Bill has been working diligently to try to get this legislative appropriation moving. Unfortunately, it didn't make the cut. We were competing with 90 other projects, and we didn't get ours through. He had been working the halls and doing everything he needed to do, and unfortunately, we didn't get there. We may still be able to get something added to another bill. Bill has had conversations with another legislator who thinks that once we know the actual difference, we might be able to get something tacked on later. So we'll keep working on that. And then we also have, you know, this interim period of time to keep going out and trying to raise funds. We'll try again next in the next session for additional funding. We really started that process of educating them, and you know, hopefully we can get something in, even if it's, you know, just for equipment. And then also, once the construction begins, we're going to be working in earnest on our charitable fundraising efforts for the 501c3. And I think, you know, once people can start to see something coming down the ground, I think they'll make that process easier.
So the bids are due on the 15th. They're good for 30 days. That gives this board a very narrow window to act. Should the one or both bids, or I guess it was both bids, come in above the estimated cost, correct? Or outside of our budget? And I think we've already scheduled meetings during that period of time so that we're able to move should we need to. Is there anything else that we need to be paying attention to at this point in order to shore this up?
Well, there's really not much we can do until the 15th. We got to know what the number is. Otherwise, we're just speculating. And, you know, I think even just moving forward with the loan documents is as much as we can do. And I think we need Melissa to move rapidly to get that in front of the EDA. But we need FSU's loan documents first because they have to review both. So, and I don't know, Melissa, if you had any conversation yet with Dustin to.
Yeah, we traded emails yesterday to set a call so that we could get on the same page about timing and also scope of the documents rather than me just drafting in the dark. So we are going to try to talk this afternoon, if not first thing in the morning. I don't envision a long discussion and then I should be off and running.
Do you have a sense of how long this will take to get the documents completed?
I don't. I mean, I think Dustin's very cooperative. I should probably be done by the end of this meeting. Dustin's very cooperative. I already, you know, was anticipating that this would be the decision of the board. So I already kind of roughed out what I think we need. I just want some consensus with Dustin before I get too far. I know time is of the essence and we'll work very hard. So I'd like to say we'll have something drafted, you know, within a week that we can get to the EDA quickly. And I will say that the lawyer we're working with at the EDA has been great. He's very responsive. He takes my call. I don't think he's ever not answered my call. He even scheduled a 15-minute phone call with Dustin and I. So he works in 15-minute increments, which I respect. So I we'll do everything we can.
And I probably once, you know, the board approves, if they do, then it might not hurt to go ahead and tee something up with him to let him know it's coming. And maybe see what his time frame is, letting him know that the bids are coming in on the 15th and we really need to get to a contract by March 1st. So sure. We can hit our March 17th date for notice to proceed.
I can do that.
Okay.
And so Melissa, it sounds like you're working with counsel from OGC at FSU. Is there counsel involved directly from FSU Research Foundation?
Not that I know of.
I'm thinking only about the time frames, and if we need to talk with the Research Foundation about.
Dustin Daly has been handling all of it so far.
Okay.
And he's been working with Kyle Clark and Dr. Fulkerson kind of at the same time. So
okay.
I think he's doing all of that.
Got it.
I don't know where the overlaps are at, but.
I know time is of the essence with this, so hopefully I'm not out of line, but if appropriate, if we don't have a meeting on the books, could we delegate that we would give you as the chair?
We do have a meeting scheduled.
You read my mind, though.
I'm just saying because yeah. I'm hearing, I know I thought you said we had some on the books, but in the case that something comes up and it falls in between there,
yeah.
Then we're not tied to either trying to get an emergency meeting or things went off the tracks, right? But we could say, hey, we give the chair the authority, in, you know, in certain bounds, and say, hey, let's move.
Well,
just the thought.
That was going to be my ask on the ask for the motion is that actually I think it would probably make sense to have the executive committee handle it. The meetings that we have scheduled right now are for the until oversight committee, which happens to be, you know, two officers and Kristen. So, you know, it's you know, obviously at your discretion how you want to handle that, but we do not have an executive committee meeting on the books because I don't know when to schedule anything at this point. So as soon as I have a sense of when that agreement might happen, when it has to happen relative to our ability to, you know, where do we have to be in the process in order to sign the construction contract? Can we get some sort of blessing from the EDA? But I'll schedule something as quick as I can get to that point.
Okay. Kristen?
Just clarifying, I mean, it would make sense to me if both the oversight committee and the executive committee or either or need to take this up, but we have delegated a great deal to the oversight committee already. I mean, that was policy, right? So. I mean, it would be discretion. Again, I would understand if the executive committee needed to also meet or do this instead of the oversight, but that is one option we have, right? The oversight committee could do it.
Yes, if the board chose.
If the board chose, yeah, okay. That would be an added direction.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm prepared to make a motion if you're ready.
Please.
Let me make two motions. The first is that we direct staff to go ahead and to execute a line of credit agreement with the Florida State University Research Foundation for $3 million.
Second.
With the addendum? Or,
I'm sorry,
with the delegation authority.
That's the second.
I'm sorry, I'm catching up. Okay.
I'll tell everybody. Yeah.
So the first motion is on the floor, motioned and
can we add to that motion that the EDA document that needs to be prepared as well?
Absolutely.
The EDA mortgage document.
As amended.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, so it's been motioned properly second. Is there discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Second motion is that either the oversight committee or the executive committee, depending upon which is most easily assembled, would be granted the authority to go ahead and execute this agreement documents.
And so your motion is that either of them have the authority to do this, correct?
Whichever is the easiest to convene.
Okay.
Well,
Ron?
I would say first, the executive committee always has the authority to take action on behalf of the board in between meetings. I don't know if that has to be approved, but the oversight committee can be given that.
Okay, so.
Well, I just want to make
I think
it clear.
It would still be what they said.
Okay.
I think that would still, because it's not negating
true.
First thing, it's just saying in lieu of that, you can also do this.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so the oversight committee would be have this same authority as executive committee to authorize that document.
And who's at whose discretion to make that decision on which?
With the approval of both the executive director and the chair.
Okay.
To select which committee?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so the motion on the floor, is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly seconded. Discussion? No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Passes unanimously. Dave, thank you for your motions. Ron, Bill, thank you for all the work that you guys have been doing to assemble the financing for this. We're getting very close. Okay. Item number 10, board vision. Okay, so we've been meeting now for about 30 minutes. I know I want to be very respectful of everyone's time. I also want to be respectful of the work that's in front of our staff over the next 30 to 60 days with the primary objective. The most important thing that we have in front of us is getting to the start line so that we can get to the finish line with North Florida Innovation Labs. I'd like to have a a preliminary conversation about the information that this board has provided relative to vision, understanding that I don't want to create assignments out of this today, so that in particular that Ron and Bill are focused on what needs to happen. As North Florida Innovation Labs becomes a real project, that will certainly establish a trajectory for where we go as the LCRDA. Also, I want to be mindful of that. Having said that, I also appreciate everybody providing some insight on the vision for where we are and where we need to move as the authority. I read through everybody's responses. I went back and looked at the 2016 to 2018 strategic plan, and I'd like to open this up for conversation. Now, there was a handful of items that I saw repeated in people's responses. And what that looks like to me is that we need to, this is in no particular order, and it is not specifically an answer to any one of the three questions. This is holistically, these are the temperature of the responses. We need to consider our mission and make sure that we are connecting well with the community and with local business. We need to consider the opportunity to expand in terms of an industrial park. We need to expand, we need to consider expanding our land boundaries, both external land and understanding the best way to deploy the internal property that still remains. We ought to consider rebranding, addressing limited recognition in the business community, improve our marketing efforts, and create a consistent brand. We need to prioritize fundraising. We need to establish a donor network and consider building a team of ambassadors. We need to develop the relationship with the airport. We need to consider our role in property management and what we do with that long term. We need to pay attention to whether or not we will subsidize future rents, or if we need to mark to market, and what does that look like? And we need to consider our relationship with OEB and whether or not we need to reprioritize that dependence. Those are the items that I saw a summation of the responses that each of you provided. When I look back at the language that was included in the strategic plan that was from 2016 to 2018, a couple things that I paid attention to. It says, historically, we've focused on the development of management, the development and management of land and buildings. We recognize the value of developing entrepreneurial talent. We are all about pairing the technology resulting from university research with local entrepreneurs. And we are about transforming an innovation park into a place where people want to live, work, and play. I thought that was an interesting statement in hindsight. And I'm not sure I necessarily understand the live and play side of that. So something that we ought to come back to. We said that in our strategic objectives that we would be a leading creator of companies and jobs. We said that we would be an adaptive organization. I think that's important because obviously we're at a point where I think we need to pay attention to how do we adapt to our current environment. We said that we would be economically sustainable. Dave, in particular, you brought up some concerns in the last few months that we need to pay attention to. What is our trajectory and how do we remain economically sustainable? As we look at North Florida Innovation Lab, certainly this has the opportunity to create companies and create jobs. We don't yet understand the economic impact, the financial, the cash flow impact of North Florida Innovation Labs. And I think we need to wrap our arms around that. And we said that we would be highly effective and efficient. And I want to challenge this board. Are we fulfilling that? And if we are, wonderful. If we're not, we need to be honest and ask some questions about how do we do that. So that's what I gleaned out of the responses. That's what I gleaned from the strategic plan from a few years ago. Certainly, I think that after we get across the finish line with North Florida Innovation Labs, I want to come back and do a Saturday night bath on our strategic plan. That's a technical term, by the way.
Saturday.
Talk to me. Let's talk about what are some of the things that we want to achieve? What are those transformative ideas? What are the barriers that we need to remove? And what are the relationships that we need to build? I open that up.
I'm gonna say something. I'll start out, and it's simple, yet difficult, yet impactful. Or potentially, right? As we talk about whatever growth path we look at, and I may be off base here, but the entry points, I don't care which way you come, are not the most pleasing, aesthetically pleasing. I say that clearly I come from FAMU, so when I come up leaving, y'all, the potholes are like nobody's business. If you come in off Roberts, it's not very attractive. If you come in off of
Stuckey,
or if you come in off of Orange, it's like it's not very attractive, right? So we talk about, and you said a minute ago, you're not sure about the live and play part, but even the work part, right? If we're trying to attract people here, especially people or companies that are not from here, like you gotta first be aesthetically pleasing. And that's just, and that's like kind of just bare bones before we start attacking any of the other bigger issues in my mind. And so whether it be reaching out through Blueprint, the city or whatever, but just even getting the roads redone, like could go a long way from a makeover perspective.
So you're saying the whole gateway and presentation piece needs to align with this vision that we have of ourselves.
Yes, I mean, and that may, you know, I don't know how everybody else feels about that, but literally driving
yeah.
Today, that's, I mean, I see it every time we come in, but I don't know why today it was just more pronounced.
Mr. Chair,
please.
Because I'm trying to voice
it. Shante, thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Chris. One strategy for that, both that I could see helping both in the messaging and actual work to improve the entry points. This is going back several years, but we had a couple of presentations when the Gateway project was under discussion at Blueprint. I mean, that's now on our list. And I know the city is working a good bit in Providence and looking at some other issues in that area. So we have a lot planned, and so this gets to the messaging part, that maybe if we were able to summarize that to have to what it's going to look like in the future page on the website or something like that, that can let people know it may not look like you want it right now, but the city's got this going, Blueprint's got this going. But looking at these different components, because we really did only look at Blueprint, so we could expand that and look at what the city's doing, and maybe within that we find some gaps. That would be the opportunity to either advocate with city and county Blueprint or potentially fill those gaps if we had to. So just a thought, because it's hard to say, oh, it's coming. But if we actually had some dates and other things, which I think we could add right now.
So, and to that point, there are real estate developers do this all the time with whether it's renderings or coming soon videos or otherwise, but I think that this conversation, and particularly Kristen, what you just brought up, ties back into this idea of the branding and how we market ourselves. Okay, branding is not what we say we are; it's what they say we are. And we need to give them some better information so that they, the royal they, whomever, are saying more positive things about Innovation Park. It goes back to another one of those ideas that was repeated in your comments, the ones that were submitted, that the connectivity with the business community and helping people understand that this is a place for startup businesses and innovative businesses and businesses that want to develop based on the hard sciences. So I think we need to pay attention to this. Something or Anne?
Well, my late arriving idea, suggestion, whatever, we have to keep up with all of our local electeds. And it would be really great if, as part of that, there were a rendering, a something that showed this is the vision, and perhaps even showed the holes in the vision, because I assume to get from what's currently on the books to what Shante would like to see, we would all like to see, there's a lot of gaps. But to have something to put in front of the electeds who change pretty rapidly these days, or can, that'd be great.
I would add that we do, whenever there's a change in electeds, we do a briefing for every one of them. And yes, you're right, though, we talk about where we've been, where we're at, and what we got in the pipeline, but we don't really weigh out the vision for the future for them.
And those people are all drinking from a fire hose when you talk to them, understandably. And it's a complicated situation between us, the universities, whatever. So anyway, thanks for
that. Well, and to that point, as new elected officials come into our community, and we have to describe who we are, where we've been, and where we're going, we're a 40-year-old, 41-year-old innovation park. Is that correct? Okay, so we have a history. That's a generation, to be very blunt about it. We're at a point right now with North Florida Innovation Lab where we can legitimately change the trajectory of where we're going for the positive. And that's
for the negative. I mean, it could make us or break us.
So this is obviously an opportunity for using innovation and hard sciences to ultimately move towards commercialization and creating jobs, companies and jobs. We need to make sure, and this is a burden that goes back to Bill and Ron, that as this is set up, that it goes back to that other priority, which was economically sustainable. That's not a small conversation, but we need to make sure that it stays an important conversation. How we do that, how that layers back into what we've grown accustomed to being in part, property manager. And that, by definition, the LCRDA has historically focused on the development and management of land and buildings. That's there is a history of this. We need to understand how that fits into the vision moving forward, and if there's another way to do this. And then going back to, if there's some pixie dust to apply, it starts with the North Florida Innovation Lab. If that were not a thing right now, we wouldn't have, there's not another fulcrum that I'm aware of. Kristen.
Mr. Chairman, if I could jump in the queue as well, that'd be great.
You'll be next.
I'll let the mayor go first.
Mr. Mayor, you're recognized.
I appreciate it. And Provost, I appreciate your comments as well. And yeah, sit tight. We got amazing things that are coming down the pipe. If you think about the Blueprint Airport project, it is right now in pre-design. That's why we haven't seen any drawings or renderings of it yet. But they will come in the design phase. There'll be many charrettes that we will do, probably in conjunction with universities as well. It's going to be amazing. It's going to have 7 miles of brand new roads. As you know, Florida State's been working really hard with their property, specifically with the golf course and moving it. The connectivity is going to be fantastic. It's going to be about 12 new miles of multi-use paths and walkways and sidewalks that will connect not only Innovation Park more inclusively to downtown, but also the Providence neighborhood. We're currently working at the CRA with the Providence neighborhood, specifically about beautification, entrance, how do we connect the neighborhood better to Innovation Park and Lake Bradford Road and Orange and everything else. So there is a lot in the works right now between the Blueprint project, which, by the way, is a $70 million project. It's going to be fantastic once completed. And that completion date, by the way, is scheduled right now for 2028 through Blueprint. So it's coming on board, and big things are coming. Provost, hang in there with us. And I think you're going to be really impressed, and I know the university will be pleased.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I was looking around trying to figure out who got the rules.
Me. Provost is like 6'4", and I'm gonna let him have it. I'm just a little lowy on VP.
So,
minus the Provost.
In other words,
Mr. Mayor, thank you. And between the mayor and the commissioner, what are some things that this board can do in order to advocate for, to shore up, to support, to encourage, to lean into, you know, put our toes to the line and our shoulders to the wheel? What can we do as a board and as an entity to support the aggressively moving forward with that?
Well, first, I would suggest that our executive director reach out to Abe Prado. Abe Prado is on staff over at Blueprint and is the project manager specifically for the airport gateway, okay? So we need to begin that conversation and introductions on the staff level. Once we get out of pre-design, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for all of us to weigh in. And it would be very important for the board to participate as well as part of the public, but also as part of the park. But I think first and foremost, having our ED reach out to Abe for introductions would be great.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Kristen.
I would add to that. Actually, I'll pause and say the board was pretty engaged, and I don't think you were not on the board yet, Mr. Chair, but you were obviously very engaged in that process, more than you would ever like. And I know Ron was, if I remember correctly, in some of the stakeholder meetings, Ron, you could check me on this, but Blueprint did reach out specifically to you and to the board during that discussion. Yes. There was a lot of other neighborhood meetings. So in talking with Abe now, I think letting him know or reminding them that that was part of the process and make sure that, I mean, I don't think they would leave us out. I think it's going to be on the list anyhow, but just let him know we're already talking about this, that we're ready whenever they are to have those conversations, I think would be good. The other thought that comes to mind, though, is Blueprint, and if you're on social media, you may have seen a lot of boosted ads about Blueprint projects and other things in the last few months, last year. They've really stepped up, particularly on the infrastructure side, promoting what has been done and what will be coming in the next few years. So they already have that material. They have the renderings. Even if we're in design right now, they have some of that. So I think in that conversation, we can ask for some of that information. they're trying to promote and let people know what's coming. So this is beneficial to Blueprint and it can be beneficial to us. So I don't think we need to recreate a lot of that. I would also say a conversation with the CRA director. I would just add to what you said, Ms. Mayor, that a conversation with the CRA director and really coming to understand what's happening with Providence, specifically on Levy, that could help as well. It may not have the same, it hasn't advanced, my understanding, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it hasn't advanced as much as the Blueprint project has, but we've been working on that, you know, for many years. So again, Mr. Chair, that's just building on what Mayor's already said, but I think it would be pretty quick to capture some of, you know, that information and really make it easily and accessible.
Sure. And so to add to what Kristen just stated, and obviously if there's some, yes, there is quite a bit of collateral material that was created by Blueprint. And that speaks to, Shante, that speaks to a lot of the area around. Maybe after the info project has started, we can then come back and have a conversation about whether or not we want to engage somebody as a consultant, as a whether it's a landscape architect or a traditional architect or some other consultant to help us create some collateral that ties together Innovation Park to the infrastructure that's going to be developed around. And Kim, I think you were next.
Oh, no, I was just thinking. I mean, clearly, so that part of it's already done, the assets. I mean, even if we had signs that said, you know, this is a Blueprint project at each of the locations with a QR code and a landing, you know, use technology, smartphone, and with the landing page that had a link for all of this, here's what's on the horizon, and it would connect all of their assets, our assets, telling our story, but, you know, in a simple but way that connects them with the information.
Very good. Shante.
And I was thinking, you know, we have an architecture program, right? So maybe that might be a project for our architecture.
So who do we need to talk to about? And again, I don't want to distract from this. And so this might be 30 days or 60 days from now, but
so Dean Rodner Wright and the associate dean is Andrew Chin. And I will also kind of let them know that something like this may be on the horizon for them. Runway time is needed just because they'll need to figure out what students and what project, how they could build it, but it could potentially be something that they could.
If you wouldn't mind seeding that conversation, that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Good.
Just for clarity, are you thinking of renderings for what's already been in the works, like Blueprints and other?
Okay. Yeah, because my thing is, if you could take kind of what, even what is, doesn't even have to be full plans, right? But conceptualize, but say, hey, this is what something futuristic could look like, right? Yeah. Not right, because we want, I'm thinking, is a vision of what could be, not what actually will be, right? And so it gives us an idea, but that could change, but at least it puts something out there where people can start to see it.
And they can learn more. Yeah.
The only reason why I ask that is we look for ways to engage FNU Architecture, FSU Urban Regional Planning a lot, but Blueprint may already have some of that information, but maybe that's on the CRA end, or just tossing this out, and this would be more longer term, but I can see the QR code that you're mentioning, Kim, that could make a difference to people working out here already, and the students who are coming here already. So this, I don't know if we've gotten some benefit from this many years ago of doing surveys of tenants and people who work out here and the students. But I believe that's run, check me out, it's been more the tenants and the people who are working here than actual, you know, the students who are going to engineering school or other places. I just, Shante, you just made me think of that a student project could be more engaging their peers of what, you know, what they like and making sure that they understand.
Eventually, they're going to be the people we're going to be trying to attract.
Sure. Right.
Right.
And the only other,
not as old folks.
The only other thing I'll add in here, and this is a little more complicated, I understand there's long-term planning and everything, but we need to add FSU to this list. I mean, the questions, if we're looking at Levy, the questions about what's going to happen at the old Alumni Village, about what that might look like, visioning for that area. I hear you on, you know, you need an image and it may change, but sometimes people get locked into that. We've seen that a lot. So talking to FSU and seeing if you have any renderings for what may happen or ideas.
Sure. Yeah. So fortunately, I'm the point guard for that at the university.
That's
so we're good, and certainly I know that we'll want to participate in that. Shante, did you have another comment? Okay, so again, being respectful for everybody's time. This has been a healthy conversation. I don't want to go too much further with it today. We are going to revisit this. Unless there's another comment, I'd like to move then to the next item. I don't. There's not an action item on the board vision. Go ahead.
We can move on, Mr. Chair. I mean, we talked about one aspect of that. So coming back to the rest, I mean,
there's the board vision is a lengthy conversation
that we will schedule for your Saturday night. We're going to come back to it.
My request to this board is to, and I actually printed out copies so that everybody can take the strategic plan from 2016 to 18. If you haven't looked at it in a while, I would encourage you to do so. I want you to look at that relative to everybody's individual comments, and we will schedule some time. But again, we're going to get past the start of North Florida Innovation Lab before we turn Bill and Ron's attention. Having said that, okay.
Mr. Chair, you want me to pass these out now? These are the Wall Street Journal article. Or I don't want to interrupt what you're doing. I just want to get them in everybody's hands. Or wait.
Yeah, hang on to that. And okay. There are a few things that we can disseminate before people leave. Okay, so the only thing that I have in my report is a follow-up from the previous meeting. We are going to be reaching out to President McCullough at FSU, schedule some time for him to come out and visit the park and see and learn more about the things that are currently happening. A draft agenda has been put together. It's up to me now to schedule some time. I want to find the right time to sit down with him. There are some things that have been capturing the attention of the president's office in the last week or two. I'm going to pick my time where I know I have his dedicated attention where we can talk through this. So that is still on my list of things to do. And I will continue to work with Ron on this.
Mr. Chair?
Ma'am.
We have in the past also invited the presidents to join us at a board meeting, whether it's annual. And sometimes that's been really nice when we get all three presidents to join us at the same board meeting. So I just put that out there. This would probably be a really good year to do that. Mm-hmm. If we look at our August, September, October timeframe.
And we did it too around the strategic plan.
We did. We absolutely did. You're absolutely right. Around the strategic plan, they may have joined us during the discussion. So having those three presidents in the room together as we talk about these things, COVID aside, we haven't been able to do it in a long time. We have new folks. Yeah, I'd like to add that to the list.
Excellent. I think it's a great idea, and we will absolutely do that. Ron, staff reports.
Yes, just a couple of things to add to what we talked about. I did want to let the board know that yesterday we received the resignation of Brian Dasher, resigned from the board, effective yesterday. We have, he may not know, he left Dan Foss months ago, and is kind of another job in another community. So he's resigned regretfully, he said. So we've reached out to the county to start the process again on recruiting someone. I'm also going to be reaching back out to Ricardo Schneider just to make sure he understands the situation now, and that if he has someone who wants to put forward to apply, that he should do so. We still have a handful of applicants who are still technically available from the previous process, so we'll reach back out to them and see if they're still interested. But so we'll move forward to that as quickly as possible. I think the earliest they can go to the commission, they said, is in April. So I spent most of our time in the last couple of months on developing those bid documents and draft construction contract. It's been an incredible process to get through all of this, but we've had a lot of good people working on it. Bill, Kristen, Tom, Kevin, through the oversight committee, and CAMS people. Mary Jo, thanks to Mary Jo. Oh, yes, there's Melissa, too. Yeah, Melissa spent Melissa and her team spent a lot of time working on the bid documents and the contracts. And so hopefully when we get all of that will come out when we get ready to award the contract. Hopefully that part will go smoothly because of the time we spent up front. Dave glossed over the budget difference on the professional fees. That's why we spent a lot of time trying to put all that together. So all very worthwhile. In terms of the revenue side of the equation, we're working hard. National Park Service is interested once again in taking a look at what we can do to increase their space in the Johnson Building. That's good, but that is a long process to go through with their National Park Service folks to get it budgeted, to get GSA to put it out to bid, and all that process. So we've been down this road a couple times. I'm hopeful, but it is a process. I also have had another inquiry from a prospect. I have a meeting with them next week to look at what could start out as office space leasing with an interest to eventually building. So we'll, again, kind of pie in the sky at this point, but I'll be meeting with them. They've got some connections internationally, and they have an interest in partnering with HBCUs. So there might be an opportunity to perhaps use some of the FAMU ground if it gets down there. So we'll explore that a little bit further, and I'll report back as I get more information. And that was a lead from Chris Rito from ARC.
Right. Rob, real quick, how much extra space is National Parks looking at?
They haven't gotten that far, but I think probably the rest of the Johnson Building. That's what they've looked at before.
Yeah.
Typically, that's what they looked at. I think the previous plan, because we have all new people, so they're just starting out. But if they follow the plan that they looked at before, it would be to move their offices upstairs and use the rest of their current space downstairs for more archive space.
It seems to me that we ought to be thinking in terms of jobs created, not income from revenue from rentals. And the National Park Service is not going to generate new jobs. It's not going to help us in that category. So I just wonder why, instead of expanding, to let them have space, with FSU and FAMU desperate for space and certainly going to get increased, should we be prioritizing it some way that we're looking for those tenants that are going to create jobs rather than just providing gap-filling revenue?
Great, I think your comment's insightful, and it will go to understanding the strategic plan that helps us become economically sustainable, and how we get there. This board needs to reexamine that, and we're gonna have to have that conversation. Kristen.
Just a quick comment on that. Right, typically I would say absolutely, 100%. We need to look at creating new permanent jobs. The Park Service, if I remember correctly, had over 40 jobs. And I just wanted to interject that there is something about retaining those jobs in Tallahassee by retaining the Southeast headquarters for the National Park Service. So we do have a lot of talent, and it's connected with FSU departments. So I think we have talked in the past about not recruiting as many university or nonprofit, you know, entities, particularly those that are grant-based, because those are not sure feds, and to look at more private sector. That's where I could absolutely, I think you're absolutely right, that we need to focus on that. But if the Park Service wanted to expand and the alternative was moving to Atlanta or someplace else, I mean, we've been through that before, that would be a high cost for them. I just wanted to add that in, that that is retention of probably around 40 jobs, and it is talent retention for people coming out of anthropology and other departments at FSU. So I don't know if that helps a little bit, but I just wanted to balance that a little.
And I think we also have to look at the mix, right? We got to diversify our portfolio. We got to have some that are going to be your steady, stable mainstays, and that they have been, and they're, if they're looking to expand, that gives us at least some more guarantee on the side of being economically sustainable. But then, you know, that means we got to go out and say, hey, another X amount, we got to look at a different type of tenant.
And so to build on that platform, Shante said diversify our portfolio. I think that's absolutely correct. We ought to, and maybe what needs to happen is that we need to do an examination of who and what is currently happening inside the park, so that we have and I'm sure that Ron and Bill, you know this is part of your daily fabric, but for us to have a meaningful conversation at board level to help give you guys some strategic thought, we might need to create a tool that helps us better touch the who and the what, so that we're planning appropriately. Again, I am not interested in putting additional assignments in place that detract from the main goal right now, which is finish line with North Florida Innovation Lab. So we're gonna have to come back to this.
And just to close that out, I think that circles right back to where you were, Ray. We know if we're gonna look at that inventory, we don't have as much private sector, right? And new businesses. I mean, that's the bottom line. So North Florida is part of that, but I think that gets to where you're right on, that we need to focus on the private sector. Because if we look at that diversification, that's the area we've always been trying to bring forward.
And then take that for yet one more step, we ought to be able to then take all that information, go back to the three presidents and say, here's what we're doing, here's the opportunities that are in front of us, how can we best support each of the universities in the vision to build the research enterprise. What do we need to do as your innovation, as your research development authority? So, I mean, it's a big conversation, but we need to tackle it.
I think there's a second point there too, and that is, how are we different than any other real estate rental group in Tallahassee? And that's what I don't see us distinguishing ourselves as. And that's why I think if we are an R&D park, we ought to be focusing on those R&D activities that don't generate jobs.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Tom, but we may need to move away from the property management side and better understand what we can do transformationally as an authority to help be the catalyst for the type of growth that we desire to see.
And I think if we don't have those kind of visionary ideas about what we would use the limited amount of space that we've got, whether it's in existing buildings or whether it's in a small amount of acreage that we have left, if we could then take that vision of what we wanted to do with that and go to some of the players that are going to help create those kind of jobs, like NU and like FSU particularly, I think that's where you might be able to have some innovative approaches to funding either acreage and construction or even additional space in those buildings. It would take a little bit of the rental income out of the picture here.
And I'm in agreement. And just so that I don't confuse anybody, I was basing off of a point that Tom had made on this sheet. Go ahead.
Yeah, just one quick thing. And I say this speaking out of both sides. I'm so excited about the Innovation Lab, and I'm scared to death. We're sitting here thinking about how we are going to pay for a construction contract, yet just after construction, we start carrying costs of probably between $750 and $1 million a year of carrying a building.
Practical.
And we got about, y'all know how much money we've got in our coffers. And I'm sitting here going, and so on one side of me thinks as an entrepreneur going, man, let's just go. And the other side's going, golly, guys, we got to make sure we figure out how we're going to pay for this stuff. And
yes.
And it's a, I mean, and I don't know the, I wish I knew the answer, but I mean, we're staring down, I know enough about real estate. We're staring down $750 to $1 million carrying that building.
Isn't that the number you came up with?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. And we're
don't
the
need
right
a pencil
place
and paper to figure that out. I mean, it's a big number.
Yes, Ann.
So to try to, play into that, we could use the traditional American version of let's get some money from the feds, which is what these articles that I'm going to pass out are all about. Our timing could be great if there is actually another big tranche of money that is actually going to come out of the federal government that has to do with creating these hard science NSF research, technology, academic, and entrepreneurial centers around universities that are not just in big urban areas. If this thing actually happens, it sounds like us. It wouldn't happen immediately, but if something could happen with this, get us over the hump and go, and look, we already have one fancy new building in which some of this could go. And I could see this becoming where you go if you're doing this kind of work, period. It could be tech, high tech work that comes out of restoring artifacts. I mean, that's how weird it could be in terms of who it is. You know, it could be hard science and wet labs, but it would all be very, it's just high level research, sophisticated technology, et cetera, basically trying to compete with other China, et cetera. And there are people, in the federal government who want to make sure that happens.
And so Ann has an article that she's going to disseminate, and I want everybody to take that with them this afternoon and read it, and that'll be something that we come back and talk through. And it speaks directly towards the points that she just made. Thank you for doing that research. Yes.
I was going to hold back on this until strategic planning and get y'all some information, but I think it's pertinent to this. So
okay.
Yes, I look forward to reading the article. I agree there may be some really unique opportunities right now. I'm always thrilled to hear, planning council, Chris Rito's name toss out. I mean, we've got some more, a lot of different opportunities through the planning council, and Bill's worked closely recently and identified some challenges too, but there's a lot more collaboration there. So I will get you this, but I'm going to put a bug in your ear about our second industrial hemp summit, which is, we had a planning meeting yesterday, April 26th through the 28th. And I'm eagerly waiting to hear about a potential keynote speaker. And the reason why this is significant for us, and I wanted to, and this would not, this is one example. Yes, there's federal dollars, but this individual has been putting together a very large investment fund to support industrial hemp. And at our board meeting last week, and I was going to mention this, the Ryder Institute, which is new here at Innovation Park, Resilient Infrastructure and Disaster Response Center, they're phenomenal. I mean, they're looking at new construction methods and stormwater and other things like that with this guy who presented without knowing that we were working on industrial hemp mentioned that they're looking at that as a resilient construction material. The R&D component of this is huge. And I know I've been bugging Ron and Bill about this at time to time. I've mentioned it, that this is kind of, with, there's actually some things that are coming together now, and we can see processing facilities within the next year starting up in our region. So that R&D funding source, that's what I wanted to piggyback with you, Ann, that we have done a better job in recent years of identifying our target industries. We used to be everything in the kitchen sink. I think particularly here, we've really, you know, honed in on that. But if we can look at some of these emerging industries that need, the private sector is going to want the product development, their R&D, and there's private investment for it. That can help support whether it's the labs or other areas. So that's, I'm sorry for spending a minute on that, but I think that is a good piece, but I also would like to look at some of the foundations or other investment work in specific target areas. Yeah.
Very good.
One quick question. I wonder if we know, I don't, but I wonder if we know what number of memberships it would take for our new lab to be break even. If we don't know the answer to that, I would propose that we have that as a answer to this question at our next meeting.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's that. We do have a pro forma, and by design, we will not cover the cost through memberships only. By design, we will leverage the nonprofit status so that we can provide resource to these entrepreneurs or other quasi federal initiatives at the lowest cost possible. And that, and I've got a few comments. That is how the successful enterprises around this state and country create massive impacts really quickly. And I think Ray or one of the other governors mentioned creating a fund to support early stage entrepreneurs to even lower the cost further. So it would be against our best strategy not to leverage the nonprofit status to utilize it as a tool to create jobs and companies. Further, and again, the comment is we're in it every day. And I'm looking around at best practices and the impacts that different research parks have had in a decade. We've got the opportunity to shorten that curve. One further comment, I'll circulate this to the governors. I shared this with both FSU's research department, FAMU's research department, and the Office of Economic Vitality. This is a consolidation from PitchBook of private equity and what they're investing in. And it triangulates perfectly with the assets that we have right here in the park, whether it's hypersonics, whether it's advanced materials having to do with batteries, energy storage. In addition to the private equity funds, it also lists the companies that are interested, that are investing, and to the degree they're investing. AgTech, whatever the, so it's a very interesting filter. What's missing most is not the public investment, it's the private investment. And so that's going to be our key to success. Part of that private investment will go to the nonprofit. A good example is we've got two battery companies in the lab right now. They're very interested in a dry lab in the new building. Well, Ford just funded a dry lab at university. Everybody is looking to advance battery research. So and that's just a quick comment. We are working with FAMU on a number of projects. Rider links both universities. I'm glad Commissioner Dozier brought that up. And I'll shortchange my presentation. The DOD is leaning heavily into untapped sources of innovation. They have a mandate to work with HBCUs. We're working now with NASA. We'll be working in April with the Department of Navy and the Department of Air Force to unlock these opportunities through non-dilutive SBIR funding. So I'm extremely enthusiastic about where we are. We are, you know, at the proverbial tipping point, if you're a Gladwell fan. What's happening around the state is it's exploding around facilities like ours. We're about to plug in the missing part of the puzzle, and we'll get it there. Absolutely. Yes, it's going to be $1 million a year. I'm going through my old indoor practice facility. How do we raise the capital? How many of these? How many of those? We'll get it. No doubt.
So excellent. While he's talking, I'd like for him to keep talking because we're about out of time. We're about out of time, but I'm gonna yield.
Yes, sir. Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
So you had mentioned that the notion would be that the memberships would not cover all the expenses. Is there any thinking as a part of your plan to request some small equity position in these companies? Obviously, in a case that someone makes it big, that would be a payout that would be worthwhile.
I think that's a great idea. That's not really our business model as a function of being a nonprofit. There are other models in which there's an ancillary foundation or a private equity source that does take a piece of a company. So those. We have those tools at our disposal. As a nonprofit, it would. My understanding is it would not be allowed within that corporate structure. We could have a related arm that did some of that.
And but also in terms of best practice, I think there's been some negative findings as it relates to trying to take equity in these companies as an incubator.
Right, and then we're competing with Y Combinator and others that would start with $4 million or something of that sort. So it is a tool we'll have at our disposal. You can change that first.
Yeah, he's got some other information I want to get to. I just want to make sure we have time to talk about these things.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go with that.
But all of those things that you guys have, all the issues you've raised from creating jobs to how do we pay for all of this, that's what we're trying to get at every day. And we can't lose side of the fact that this incubator is a transformational job creating entity. It's not something we're going to do and then move on to something else. It's a big part of our future strategy. So,
and I'll travel along with you. We sort of covered this. We did the design and development. I'll just summarize by saying that we're working with a number of funding sources, and we have a big pipeline of opportunity. Many of those are with FAMU and our other partners. As mentioned, all of the federal agencies have a mandate to work with HBCUs, and we've got resources that are unique in the market, so we're getting written into many grant opportunities. I think there are further opportunities to talk to our great partners like DCC about elements of workforce that would support our future workforce. Lab technicians are in really short supply, and that is a training program. Those are high-wage jobs. Those are needed around the country. So chasing money, and you can continue here. Have some exciting opportunities on the membership on the program side. We anticipate bringing a new entrepreneur into the lab. He's got three startups. He's had a successful exit. He's just relocated from South Florida, and he's in the med tech space. And he may take a couple of spaces in this facility. And I'm getting inquiries about the new facility and wanting to reserve space now in the new facility. So there are probably four companies that want to lock in now. You should also know And if you don't, that in order to get an SBIR, you have to have a commitment of facilities. So you don't have to have them leased, but you have to have a commitment of the resources that you need should you get funding. So this building is a tremendous asset as a gateway to the new lab. The new lab will in turn be a good exit point back into this building and other places in the park of the community.
Mr. Chairman, just to make sure I'm on the right track.
Please.
This is a critical point, the facility, the commitment for the facility. So having a facility to come online soon, that helps in those SBIR applications, right? That's first part. Second part, the SBIR and STTR, getting more people access to that funding is directly beneficial to our universities, and particularly President McCullough's goals to increase research funding. I mean, that those things work hand in hand. Is that correct?
That's correct. The STTR is technology transfer. Okay. And that's so that, the SBIR, Small Business Innovation Research, all of it's non-dilutive, early stage. And I'll jump to this point. This is really exciting. The FSU Office of Research, you may know, hired Mike Campbell away from Jumran Institute. He's now working in that office. They, for the first time, are leaning into SBIR, STTR training at FSU and offering it more broadly. So we are working now with FAMU, NASA, FSU, the Department of Navy, and the Air Force on SBIR, STTR training. Michael Tentnowski will support that. We have a train-the-trainer program so we can scale capacity and volume, and we'll put it on the startup win platform so we've got consistent deliverability, and we're bringing in two additional trainers to go through this program.
And he's going to tell you about the startup win platform.
Yeah, I'll tell you about the startup win platform. So anyway, all of the federal agencies over a certain volume have a mandate to fund SBIRs. The EDA and SBA are leaning heavily into places where they have not been awarded frequently. It's good news, bad news. They're looking directly at our ecosystem and our institutions because they haven't seen a lot of applications coming out of that way. So the timing's great. The Office of Research is all over this. I had the opportunity to meet the new president and his wife at a function last week, I guess. So the timing is great for this, and we're getting the support of all of our partners. Okay. And then these external energetics technology, they're going to bring resource to it because they're tasked with finding it for the Department of Navy. APEX is working with HBCUs to lean into particularly technology that supports the Air Force and Space Force. Let's see, I'm just going to cruise through here. Another piece that came up that I think we're well suited for, the Department of Energy has $8 billion in funding, and FAMU got contacted by FPNL, and they're interested in pulling together a consortium to chase one of these four energy centers that will get $2 billion to study hydrogen production and energy storage. So there are these public-private opportunities which are unprecedented because of the infrastructure funding that's come down. Startup Wind is a platform that allows us to create containers of consistent content and cohorts that allow us to do the high technology training. I spoke with Keith Bowers. He could run his incubator separately and concurrently, and the same platform runs the SBDC statewide in Connecticut. It's containerized so that he could do his thing, we could do our thing, Domi could do their thing, TCC could. But what we're doing is we're creating a catalog of best content. It's pre-populated with subject matter experts from academia, Silicon Valley, and it's got a platform delivery that allows us to deliver in person and online. And it moves people right through a lean business canvas to a presentation, to a pitch competition, should we decide to do that. FAMU has agreed to cover part of the cost of this as part of the NASA grant to support SBIR training. And it's typically used statewide by other states. We've been granted a license that allows us to include, should they choose to participate, FSU, FAMU, TCC, DOMI, and the SBDC. So the idea is to create quality and volume and consistency, particularly for early stage companies, some of which will be pipelines for the lab. So in our next meeting, we'll ask for support of this investment, and we will get started in the month of April with our first SBIR training with the Department of Navy. And it has all of these, I'm a little off script here, so has all these features and functions so you can move forward. And I'm happy to answer any questions about
it. And just, if I can just sort of paint a big picture of this, this is our way of keeping that, the training going so we can build the ecosystem. We can build, as he said, we can build this funnel of potential companies that will land ultimately in the incubator. It also provides some continuity in terms of the content. We're not dependent on one person to have the content and be able to deliver it. Once it's on the system, it stays there. It can be used with live video or, you know, whatever, but all kinds of instructional levels to help move people through these programs. We don't have to do a physical presence like an EEP program. We could go to this tech grant program on this, as you mentioned. So this is a really important step, and it's not just for us. It's for the whole ecosystem, as you mentioned, all these different partners. So we're trying to build the ecosystem because we know that ultimately that's how we're going to get the folks that are going to end up in our incubator. And even those that aren't in our incubator, it's going to help populate the whole ecosystem with new businesses and hopefully great jobs. That's my...
That's great. And one program is a USDA Ag Tech Entrepreneurship Program. And this would allow us to do sort of a hub and spoke model and deliver that content consistently, even if it was spread out across the region.
Mr. Chair, real quick, what Bill just said is we got to keep this in mind because the EDA grant is a regional grant. That is one of our, the critical things that we got to keep building in, and it's good for the region also. So the hub and spoke model, we haven't delved into the conversations as detailed as we have in the planning council discussions, but this is what the EDA really wants to see and what our region wants to see. It's part of the incubator grant. Yeah.
Good. That's a good point. The other thing is the output of the metrics, which we're required to report on for 10 years, would be consistent across all of our ecosystem partners, which saves a lot of time as well. On the marketing side, we're continuing to recruit. We're testing Lester Hutt's new recruiting company to see if he can help us with this. In the meantime, we've engaged Denise. She's doing a great job. And we're focusing on marketing the available space that we have in the park. So there's a new flyer up for Morgan. We are, to Governor By's point, we're targeting hypersonics, energy, you know, ideal for these kinds of companies. So we're looking specifically for private industry first that might align well with the assets that we have in the park. So there's a new flyer up, there's a new webpage up. We're also taking the opportunity to showcase the OEE aerial video if folks want to get a sense of what Innovation Park is. We're locating it in the world for them with a little Florida map.
By the way, the prospect that I'm working with saw the video and saw our website and was very excited based on what they saw on the website. So it was
pretty Oh, that's cool. Wonderful.
Yeah. And we're also making an investment within budget, getting an output from CAM's team of video fly-throughs of the new lab, which are extreme. They're very dramatic. And so we'll cut that together so people, as there becomes there over time, they can visualize it more specifically. And we'll put that on the new website that's also funded by a grant. And that's what the web page looks like. I've been out and about quite a bit, meeting with our elected officials, Capitol. Commissioner Dozier and I spoke at Florida Association of Counties, continuing to work as a DOMI board member, Chief Stylist board member, and chair of the Aero group locally. I'll be attending the FBIA meeting next week and touring two of the highly successful UCF labs. That is chaired by the team that runs Florida's incubators. And they've been extremely generous in sharing best practices. So I think we have an opportunity to take the best of the best around the state and country and adapt it for what we have right here. Also, I've been participating with the Office of Financial Regulation. They were attempting to run a bill that removes some of the restrictions for early stage investment and capital in the state of Florida that puts Florida at a competitive disadvantage compared to other states. It will not pass this session. They had sponsors, but it didn't make all the committee stops. This is an important incremental step in helping the entire state. They've invited a few stakeholders to participate. I've been participating, and I'm also sharing this information around the other ecosystems. So it should be on track next session, and did get a lot of airplay, and folks are talking about this now. So that's sort of the wrap up of what's been going on recently.
I compliment the team on their presentation. Posters out here in the front, they really look nice.
That's Cam's team. I wish I could take credit.
He's not here, man. Take credit.
Yeah. And Ron got the easels to
it. Yeah, I did my part.
Bill, Ron, thank you both for your reports. Any questions for either Bill or Ron? Hearing none. do we have any new business? There is none. Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Sure.
Second.
Appreciate everybody's time today. Thank you.
Wait, don't leave without your newspaper.
Yeah, please. All right. Okay. Good afternoon. It is 12:46. I'd like to welcome everybody to Innovation Park TLH Inc. And call. It's February 3rd, 2022. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Ron, are there any guests?
No guests.
And there will be nobody participating via electronic means, correct?
There will not.
Are there any modifications to the agenda?
There are none.
Is there any public comments?
We have not received any.
Everybody, I assume, has had a chance to review the draft meeting minutes from October 7, 2021. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. All in favor, aye.
First report, there's no meaningful information.
So. Okay, well, hang on a second. Was there any, I thought I was the only one that said aye. Is there any, anybody opposed? Okay, the motion passes. The treasurer's report.
Yeah, nothing major to report, sir.
Very good. Item number 8, startup wind agreement, Bill.
Yes, I provided a quick overview, and Ron added some color commentary to that. Our commitment will be for half of the cost of the contract to grant to FAMU. With NASA, will fund the other part of the contract. We have arranged the billing so it's quarterly, and will align with when the funding comes in.
And our portion is funded through the ARPA grant, correct?
That's right, yeah, for entrepreneur support.
So there's no, it's not coming out of anything other than grant funding, our grant funding, FAMU's grant funding, and it's a one-year contract for $18,000.
Do you need a motion?
Yes.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
It's been properly moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Yes, one question, please.
I heard your presentation.
Yeah.
One of the things that it seems is there's a whole lot of Tallahassee's elements that are helping small businesses in one bucket with this. Does that allow someone to, like, I've always thought the city was real disjointed. You know, OEB does some stuff, Domi does some stuff, we do some stuff. Does that help to tie some of that together?
It does. It helps.
Those resources?
It helps everybody. And yes, and the way that, and just to clarify, we've got the option to include them. They don't have to participate. However, it does what they do more efficiently. So Domi has a program. Their mentor platform is separate. Their metrics tracking is separate.
But a person looking for assistance can go into this through this avenue and find out who does what for them, where?
Yes, they would probably go to Aero first. And okay. Then if they're partners in this platform, then their content would be there.
Okay.
And the way that it works is if they choose to participate, then they would pay for one of the cohorts and a pro rata share of the membership capacity. Okay. So by adding them, we are sharing costs, and what we will provide them will be less expensive than if they went out and did it on their own.
Okay.
Very good. But the thing it does, though, is allows us to be the hub.
Right.
That we will right. be the central point. We'll oversee the platform. We may look at some administrative support in the future. That cost can be spread among all of the participants. So it's a great place for us to have that central role for the ecosystem.
Yeah, this came up. We're sort of like Switzerland in the ecosystem, meaning that, you know, FAMU, because they supported it, wanted to hang it with us because they thought it's a better fit than just FAMU or putting it some other place, so that we have the ability to work region-wide.
Call for question.
Very good. Okay, so it's been properly moved and seconded, discussion, and Dave's called for questions. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that's unanimous. That passes. Ron, any new business?
None.
Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Good meeting, guys.
Thank you.